Praise God. Let's open in prayer. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we come to you. We gather together in your name. We thank you that you are here in the midst of us, praise the Lord. Praise God. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you that you are a good God for us. You are a good God. We come ready to hear from you, ready to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's have a look at the Word of God, the Bible principles of faith. This is so important to us because this is really our nuts and bolts of how we live our life as Christians. You know, we're in this church, Victory Faith Centre, so we live our lives by faith. And we've studied this over the years, and now tonight we're going to look at it again about Bible principles of faith. So let's firstly have a look in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1, which tells us that the Bible tells us what faith is in this verse. And the Word of God says in Hebrews 11, 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now that tells us that faith is something, it's tangible, it's real, it's a substance, the Bible says. And it is a force. It is a force that resides within each one of us, that we exercise, that we use to accomplish things in our spiritual life. So faith is a substance, and the Bible tells us it's a substance of things hoped for. Now, a person can hope for something, but that hope might not be realised unless they put their faith in behind it to take hold of it. Now, for instance, a person may hope to be saved, they may hope to go to heaven, but unless they use their faith that Jesus Christ died for them and by faith they receive him as their Saviour, the hope alone is not enough for them to be saved. They have to use their faith to say, yes, I believe Jesus died for me. Yes, I receive his sacrifice for me. So the faith undergirds it. It undergirds and it accomplishes what we hope for. So that's what faith is, and it shows that there's a difference between faith and hope. Both are good things to have. Faith is the thing that will get what you hope for accomplished, because faith is that substance. It is that force within each of us, and it is the evidence of things not seen. It's the evidence of things not seen. And in our Christian life, that's what we do. We take hold of the blessings of God. You can't see them necessarily straight away, but your faith takes hold on them. And when you take hold of them in faith, you start to act on them. You believe it, you speak it, you act as though it is true already, because it is true. And therefore, it becomes the evidence of things not seen, for instance. Now, healing is one example. You may look sick, you may feel sick, you may have symptoms in your body, but if you believe by faith that Jesus Christ has healed you, then you're going to act healed. You're going to say you are healed. You're going to say you are strong. It's the evidence of things not seen. And soon enough, your body will come into line with what you believe and what you say. So that's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So how does faith come about? God has placed within us, when we were born again, that substance called faith. By faith we were born again. So it is within us. It's within us, that force of faith. And as you know, that force within you, faith, it can grow or it can diminish depending upon what you choose to put into your mind, into your heart, what you choose to put in there. For instance, If you have nothing but worldly television on all day, every day, and you neglect the Word of God, that is not going to build up your faith. If you choose to listen to ungodly music all day and you neglect the Word of God and other things, or you choose to be around only non-believers who speak ungodly things, that is not going to build up your faith. Whereas if you start to put the Word of God into your heart, then your faith builds up. Have a look in Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17 tells us how faith comes and what it is that causes faith to grow. So Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The word of God produces faith when you hear it. When you hear it. When you look at the Word of God and you read the Word of God and you study it, if you determine within yourself that I am going to come to the Word of God with faith and not doubt and unbelief, when you come to it with faith, it will cause your faith to come and it will cause it to grow. It just takes you coming to it with the attitude and the heart attitude ready to believe. I am ready to believe. And your faith will come and it will grow. It will grow. So faith cometh by hearing. That's the key thing there. It comes by hearing. That's that readiness to believe and readiness to hear. And hearing by the word of God. So faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So we see that faith is a substance within our hearts. It can grow or it can diminish. How does it grow? It grows by hearing the word of God, by using it, by putting it into practice, by saying, I believe it. What I read in the scriptures, I believe them. I believe them. You can say that. Even if you don't feel like it, you just say, I believe it. I believe it. Forget about the feeling part of it. You say, I believe it. I choose to believe it. And it will cause your faith to grow. Now, let's have a look in Hebrews chapter 4. Because this is a crucial point in Hebrews chapter 4 if we're going to receive anything from the Lord. If we're going to walk by faith, then Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2 tells us what needs to be done. And Hebrews 4 verse 2 says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." So if your faith is going to accomplish something, it has to be mixed with the Word of God. The Word of God that you read has to be mixed with your faith, or else it will profit you nothing. Do you see that? That's what happened to the Israelites. They were given the promise by God that they could go into the promised land, but they did not mix it with their faith, and that cost them 40 years in the wilderness because they did not mix it with their faith. Except for Joshua and Caleb and Moses, of course. So 40 years it cost them because they did not mix the word of God with their faith. When you read the word of God, you see, you have that force within you. So you have to say, I'm going to use this force in my heart, and God, he meets you. When you start to exercise your faith, he meets you with the word of God. And the two mix together, that's what accomplishes things. The word plus faith mixed together. That's what accomplishes things. That's how come you can have non-Christians read the Bible, talk about the Bible, listen to the Bible, and yet what does it profit them? It will not profit them because they are not exercising faith. But when a Christian exercises their faith, they mix it with the Word of God. That's when it accomplishes things. So the Word of God has to be mixed with faith. You have to have those two things together to accomplish anything. The Word of God plus your faith. Those two together. If you leave the faith part out, then the Word profits you nothing. Do you see that? You have to have the faith in there. And when we mix our faith with the Word, we link it to the specific promises of God. For instance, by His stripes ye were healed. You can read that. But unless you mix it with your faith, it will not profit you. So you say, I'm going to mix that with my faith. I believe it. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. You mix it with your faith. And then it starts to work in you. It starts to work in you. And it accomplishes things. It affects you. So you mix it with your faith. What this does is that faith mixed with the Word of God, it gives you an anchor in your life. And it connects you to the blessings of God. Your faith does. You've got God's blessings, and what your faith does, your faith hooks onto those blessings and it appropriates them, it puts them into your life, it work in your life. So your faith hooks onto the blessings of God and brings them to pass in your life. So what you need for the blessing of God to come to pass in your life is that you need to link it with your faith. You need to mix it with your faith. So let's have a look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I said that faith can grow or it can diminish. That's important for us to understand because the more faith you have, the more you can accomplish in the kingdom of God. Have a look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Corinthians 10 verse 15 says, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labours, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. So what was said here by Paul was that he was waiting for their faith to increase, the Corinthian people. And that would have benefited them, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. So faith accomplishes things and faith can be increased. Faith can be increased. So what do you think God wants? Do you think he wants small faith or large faith? I know that he wants large faith because faith accomplishes things. Didn't Jesus, he spoke about ye of little faith, didn't he? He spoke about great is your faith. Therefore, the great faith accomplishes things. The small faith, that has the potential to grow, and you have to look after it. You have to nurture it. And how does it grow again? It grows by coming to the Word of God, studying the Word, hearing it, and believing it. That will cause it to grow. Your faith grows by hearing the Word of God. So faith can increase. It can increase or it can decrease depending upon what we choose to put in to our lives. Have a look in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6 verses 17 to 19. Says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. So what he's talking about here is the nature of faith and the nature of hope and how it lays hold on things. And that's what it does. Firstly, we have to settle it within our hearts that God is immutable here. He's not changing. He's made his oath to us, his promise to us. We have it in our word here. It's impossible for God to lie. So we come to the word believing that everything written in every promise of God is the truth. We believe him. It's impossible for God to lie. And we use it to hook our faith onto that. We lay hold on it. And that's what faith does. Faith involves the laying hold on the promises of God. It really takes hold of those promises. And no storms of life or any attack, once you've really laid hold on it, will be able to shake you off your position, because you've got the word, you've got your faith, and you've mixed those two together. You know? And the devil, once you lay hold on it, and you put up your shield of faith, the devil can't get through to you. He can't knock you down. When you choose to stand in faith, you use your faith. You see, your faith is something that accomplishes things. And it's also your shield as well from the fiery darts of the enemy. So it accomplishes things greatly. And I'll summarise what happens here is that faith is a spiritual force. And what happens is your faith, when you use it, it reaches into the spirit realm. It reaches into that unseen realm. It takes hold on a promise of God that you can't see necessarily. It takes hold on that truth and it draws it into, it brings it into the natural realm. By his stripes you were healed. You lay hold on that in the spirit and you hold on to it. You mix your faith with it. And it brings it into the natural so that you know it in your body and your body starts to reflect it. My body is healed by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. So to do this, you must maintain your faith without wavering or doubting. Once you begin to waver and doubt and that starts to come out of your mouth, then you start to lower your shield down. And what happens then? When a person lowers their shield, what happens? They can get struck by the enemy. But if you keep your shield up, then the enemy, the darts will just, they will not penetrate. They'll bounce off the shield of faith. So you have to keep your shield of faith up. You have to, once you grab hold on that, you don't let go. You don't let go of the promise of God. Don't let go of it. Keep fast hold on it. Keep fast hold on it. Mix it with your faith and you'll see the manifestation of it here in the natural realm. Have a look in Hebrews 11 verse 6. This is important to understand and know that the only thing that pleases God is us walking by faith. Have a look in Hebrews 11 verse 6. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So he tells us, without faith it's impossible to please God. Unless we're using our faith, we cannot please God. Because the alternative is doubt and unbelief, and that does not please God. There's nothing about doubt and unbelief and fear that can please God. Nothing. Nothing about that pleases him. Faith is the only thing that pleases him. Nothing else will please him except faith. So when we come to God, we believe him, we believe that he is, and we believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if you come to your word of God there and you study it diligently, you can expect to be rewarded. Your faith will grow and God will reward you. He will reward you with the blessings that are in that word of God. He will reward you with them because you've used your faith. And that's what he wants. That's the only thing that pleases him. Nothing else will please him. Have a look in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7. Says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." That's such a compact statement there, isn't it? But it encompasses so much. Really, when every trial of life, when every storm of life comes about, should we let these things knock us down from our position of faith? If any attack tries to come against you, should we let it knock down our shield of faith? Should we do that? No, not according to the word of God, not for Christians. The word says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." For we live our lives by faith, not by sight. Not by sight. So we should understand and determine that within our hearts, that I am not going to be moved by what I see. I'm not going to be moved by what I see around me. I'm not going to be moved by, if I have symptoms in my body, I'm not going to be moved by that. If there's things going on around me in my life, I'm not going to be moved by that. I'm going to keep walking by faith. By faith. For we walk by faith, not by sight. The devil is the master of manipulating things in the natural realm, the sight realm, with the purpose to try to get us to bring fear and worry into our life, to cause doubt and unbelief, so that we will not have a position of faith, so that we will not even put our faith shield up, or we will drop it. And then what happens then? Then a person is the prey to the enemy. They're an easy prey to the enemy if they drop their shield, or if they have no shield, if they can't even be bothered to walk by faith. Then they become easy prey for the enemy. So we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. And you remember faith? It's the evidence of things not seen. So you can, it doesn't matter what the situation looks like. If you're using your faith, things will change for you. Do you understand that? Regardless of how a situation looks, if you use your faith, things will change for you to come into line with what the Word of God says. Isn't that a wonderful thing that God has said it like that for us? That regardless of how a situation looks, if you use your faith, you mix the Word with your faith, things in your life will come into line with the Word of God. That will come into line with the Word, that high standard of the Word of God. It'll come into line with it when you use your faith. Not walk by sight, though. If you walk by sight, you're always going to be hooked in. You're going to be blown around by things in the world. The devil can cause any number of things if we walk by sight. You know, things can happen in our life, and if we keep saying, this is real because I can see this and this and this and this happening in my life, then we will never have that anchor. We will always be tossed around, tossed to and fro, always behind the circumstances. But not when we walk by faith. And that's why this is the command to us. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. We are not sight dependent, and faith is not sight dependent. Christians live by faith. Have a look in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, let's read verses 38 and 39. Hebrews 10, 38 and 39 says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." So the command is, the just shall live by faith. It's not room for interpretation there. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. Now the just shall live by faith. We live by the faith that's been placed in our hearts. The just shall live by faith. You see what happens there if a person draws back? The Bible says, "My soul shall have no pleasure in him." And that's what he said in Hebrews 11, verse 6, that without faith it is impossible to please him. And then the Bible tells us a wonderful thing here. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition or destruction, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We believe. And it starts to change our minds. It starts to change. Remember the scripture that says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." So it works on us. It works on our souls, our mind, our will, our emotions. It works on them and our bodies. It works on our circumstances. So we can't afford to draw back. We cannot afford. It's not pleasing to God. And it will cause an entry point for the devil to bring problems, big problems, into our lives if we do. So we live by faith. We don't abandon our faith, we live by it. We live by it. Have a look in the same chapter 10 and read verse 23. The scripture says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." So what does God want us to do with our confession, our profession, the scripture says? Let us hold fast our profession. Hold fast. Don't draw back. Don't draw back. Remember, the scripture says not to be double-minded. Don't let sweet water and bitter come out of your mouth at the same time. One nullifies the other. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. It takes spiritual courage and it takes a determination to do that. Thankfully, we've got the Lord helping us and strengthening us and encouraging. We have the Holy Spirit, praise the Lord, who encourages us, who helps us to hold fast. So we hold fast, and we hold fast because the Bible tells us, "For he is faithful that promised." He is faithful that promised. God is faithful. God will never renege on his part. Now, we have to walk by faith. We have to keep holding on and mixing the word of God with our faith. And let's look in 1 John 5, 4. Our faith, 1 John 5, 4, let's have a look at that. Our faith gives us the victory, the victory. We have it because of our faith. 1 John 5, 4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith gives us the victory. We have victory because the world says one thing, the world goes one way, but we do another. And we have the victory. Why? Because God's way is always the victorious way. our faith gives us the victory over the world. The world says you can't, but faith says I can. I can do it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can keep hold on the promises of God and mix them with my faith. And that gives us the victory. That gives us the victory. Let's look at Galatians 5:6. Galatians 5 verse 6 says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." So what accomplishes things? What avails things? It's our faith. And how does our faith work? Our faith works by love. If we're going to be people who walk by faith, we have to, at the same time, be people who walk by love. We can't afford to let things offence. All the sins get into our hearts. We have to maintain selfishness, etc. Covetousness. We can't afford to let these things into our life and to compromise us with respect to being people who love. To be people who love God, we love His Word, we love others. It's the thing that causes our faith to work. Our faith works by love. It works by love. What's the main commandment the Lord gave us? Love one another. Love God and love each other. Love. That's the commandment. So we have to walk in that and not violate it. Because if we violate it, do you know what happens? Our faith is hindered. So we have to be walking in love. It's what causes our faith to work. And love is seen in acts of love. Our love that we have towards God and others is seen in our actions. And lastly, let's look in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 12 to verse 15. Hebrews 6, verses 12 to 15. The word of God says, "That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." Those two things, faith and patience, they work together. Do you see how they work together? You have need of patience, the Bible tells us. You have need of patience. Faith and patience inherit the promises. Those two things have to work together. Because remember, you've laid hold on the promise and it's going to be seen in the natural. It may not be seen straight away, but it will be. It will be. Whether it's 5 minutes, 5 seconds, or 5 years, it will be seen. It will be seen in the natural. It will. The Word of God promises us that. The Word of God promises that. Who through faith and patience inherit the promises and uses Abraham to show us that this is exactly what happened to him. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He obtained the promise. When used with patience, faith will never fail to see the promises of God manifested in our life. When used together, faith and patience, they will never fail to see the promises of God manifested in our life. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, Lord, and we thank you for your kindness. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, your love. We thank you for giving us faith, the measure of faith. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and bless you. Thank you. We thank you, Lord. You've given us faith. Lord, we thank you, Father, for that. We thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. And I believe that the Lord wants, if anybody would like to come forward for prayer, you can come forward now. If you'd like to come forward for strength in your body, for circumstances, if you would like to be prayed for, you come forward right now. And we will pray for you. Would anybody like to receive prayer? We thank the Lord for his graciousness. We thank him for his love and his mercy towards us. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.